He also talked a little bit about MIPASA.org. So it's a quick look with notes and kind of a mini presentation of his slideshow. And it's a nice introduction to, oh yeah, that's what everyone else is kind of doing in this space at the same time.
Excellent. Thank you. I cut out for a bit of that. Hopefully I'm the only one that's cutting out here. And that this is everybody else got the report that you gave. Thank you for giving that. And I see the meeting notes link in the chat or in the wiki page. I'll be sure to go and check those out. Thank you. Let's see. Hyperledger Indy. Anybody attend those calls this week?
Yep, I attended the Monday call. We talked over the continued breakup of the Indy SDK to smaller components, focused components that will allow us to use them in flexible ways in Aries. That work continues. Evernim will be off on other things for the next couple of months. So they are stepping away from running that meeting. So I'm going to be running it going forward every 2 weeks. So we're going to keep going with it, but Evernim won't be participating as much because of stuff they are doing elsewhere.
Okay. Now, is that a permanent thing for Evernim?
We don't know. It's for certainly for the next 2 months, they said they are dealing with, they have a new contract, some mystery contract that is related, I'm sure, to COVID-19. And so they just don't have the time to put resources on attending and doing basically community work. They have to focus on this use case they have.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that's a kind of a good thing, bad thing. We certainly appreciate all the effort that Evernim brings to the table and to our industry. That's also a good thing. You know, contracts in this space mean the environment is continues moving mainstream, which is excellent. All right. I just got a note from Riley. If you've noticed, he's not on the chat. It slipped his calendar, so he's joining here in a minute, and we'll hear from him bottom of the hour or so. So just sent him a note. I can't talk and type at the same time. So, all right. Let's see. Any of the other Indy items? Any comments on those? And if not, what about Hyperledger Aries?
So that does bring up another thing. So Richard Esplin's been hosting the biweekly Aries working group meeting in the morning, and we need a new host for that. So there was a call put out yesterday to request if someone could take over starting 4 weeks from now. So ideal would be someone in outside of North America. So this call, the morning call, is to, in particular, to enable European and participation in that part of the world. So it would be great if somebody in Europe was able to lead the meeting. That would be ideal. Other than that, we had a really good conversation presentation from somebody who does works on formal verification of protocols, and in particular security protocols. That was extremely interesting. The recording is available, and if you're basically, we were talking about he was talking about Sven Hamminen was talking about the DID exchange protocol in Aries and the modeling he's done, the testing he's done in a formal verification tool related to that, and particular pointed out a necessary component to prevent or to detect man in the middle situations with that protocol. And that if implementations are not doing the necessary checking, they may not detect a man in the middle situation. So really interesting and useful.
So was that in the A call or the B call yesterday?
That was the morning call, the A call.
Okay. That's really important. I mean, this man in the middle, we, as a lot of people kind of ignore that a little bit because we're using very strong crypto, and which is awesome, which we need to be using. But as we apply that crypto and as we connect, there's a opportunity for these man in the middle. So we need to be careful to watch for that. And so did he have slides on that?
Yeah. And those are all, I believe the links are all in the morning, the A call. And certainly the video is there.
Excellent. That one I will be sure to check out as well. I missed that yesterday morning due to another appointment. Any other reports, say, on the B-call? Anything happened yesterday?
B-call, we went into, we had some good demos. We closed a couple of issues. We had a Mediator Cloud Agent demo, which was really good. Showing both talking through the concept and demonstrating a cloud agent acting as a persistent endpoint for a mobile agent, a disconnecting agent. And then a second demo on tracing inside Aries protocols, so that you can basically, with this capability, you can either turn on tracing to track performance, spit out performance messages throughout the operation of an agent, or just for specific protocol execution. So you might say do 10% of your issuances and spit out records, and then put those into a visualization tool. So there, Ian was using the Elk Stack, Elasticsearch, and Kibana to show the data and how you could query it, present it, graph it, and get insight from it. And that could work both within a specific agent, but across a ecosystem of agents. So that's kind of cool. And then we did a second round on the Credential Exchange 2.0 spec, which is taking the Credential Exchange and kind of making it more agnostic versus indie specific. It was pretty good in the version one, version two sort of finishes that work by taking out the last bits of things that were specific to indie and make it agnostic, so we can use other exchange, other credential models.
Excellent, thank you. Any questions on that? I'll take that as a no. All right. Let's moving on. Do we have anyone who attended the IRSA call this week?
There was not one.
There was not one. Okay. No. Do they go biweekly?
I believe, I'm not quite sure the full status. I just hear the statuses on the various calls.
Got it. Awesome.
One of the things we're trying to push with IRSA, Mike Lauder's going to do some work for BCGov, and the three things we're going to push with that is, one thing is that predicates have never been put into, although they're in IRSA, have never been put into Indy and made available in Aries. So we want to get that in place. So we're going to be adding the full set of predicates, or at least more predicates than just greater than or equal. And revocation 2.0, that's a longer term thing, but we want to get that out there. And then working on the Aries wallet and using the IRSA capabilities for that. So those are three initiatives that are going to drive out of IRSA.
Excellent. And so he's doing that with you then?
Yeah, he's working for a couple of people, a couple of organizations, at least us and one or two others. And that's the stuff that we're, BC Gov is going to be pushing on.
Excellent. Mike's a great resource. I can't recommend him enough. That'll be good. Do you know, he was working, I know that the BC Gov platform is mostly Python. When with his work with the Aries wallets, is that going to be mainly Python based, or is that
no, it'll be likely Rust. I would assume it would be Rust, and BCGov's been doing a fair amount in Rust lately actually as well. So the work we're doing on breaking up the indie SDK is all Rust.
Excellent. That's good to hear. Our platform is predominantly iOS and Android, and so Rust is a good thing we know how to consume. So, all right. Well, thank you very much. Let's see. Any updates? I guess we can skip the updates on Sovereign. Riley will be joining here in just a minute. I think I surprised him when that invite wasn't on his calendar.
This is Kelly. I was also at that meeting. And so he comes, just a quick recap. And that is, the first half of the meeting was kind of updating on the reorganization of Sovereign and how everyone will be working on a voluntary basis at this time. And then the second half was to segue what the linkages are from the foundation governance to the covert governance, the new covert governance work stream, and just kind of getting everybody up to speed on how the two are related and not mirrors of each other.
Excellent. Yeah, the COVID platform, I mean, it's a horrific thing for our entire world, but we do have some expertise and resources that we can contribute to make things easier. And so it's all coming as at an opportune time.
Yeah. I think. Okay.
Like I mentioned at the outset, up at the top of the... There we go. I did discover I have host capabilities, so let's see. So up at the top, there's the fightthevirus.world, and there is a ton of information there. I can't stress that enough, that this is a good opportunity. The governments in the world are looking at solving this problem anyway, and I'm kind of afraid that the way some of them might be looking at solving the identity, who's been vaccinated, who's been cured problem, really don't take into account the level of personal privacy that we would all want. And so because of the expertise we have in this area with things like verifiable credentials and zero knowledge proofs, I think that is a really, really good opportunity for us to contribute and kind of solve this unknown for everybody problem, but then also maintain personal privacy as well. I'm excited for that to get going. I know there's a number of efforts. They range all the way from building technologies, building schemas, building just everything from the technology side, all the way up to business integration and answering questions like, how is a hospital going to issue a credential? How are we going to receive that, put that in our respective wallets? How will we attest that to people? There's a lot of use cases there where, you know, if we are sitting in a football stadium, are we going to be worried that people around us might make us sick, you know? And there's a ton of beneficial elements that we can introduce with verifiable credentials, but there's also a ton of privacy pitfalls that we do hope to avoid. And I think collectively we can all do that. And so I'm attending some of those calls. There's really probably about a half a dozen or so. Yeah, everything from technology to business system integration, I think is where we need to address that. Anyway, thank you all for your reports today. I just see that Riley has joined our call, and we welcome him. And he's I've asked him to give us a little bit of an overview on what's going on with the sovereign ecosystem transition to Hyperledger and some of the different things that are going on. Riley's been working as a member of the transition team, and so probably has a few extra details that some of us don't have. Riley, are you ready to go?
Yes, sorry, I have a bunch of windows open and I'm, you know, frantically switching through all of them to find where the heck Zoom is. But yes, so I found the mute button and I'm ready to go.
Excellent, thank you very much. Go right ahead.
So would you like, if you'd like, I can share my screen. I have some slides that I can share. Let me know when you can see my screen.
We can see it.
Okay, can you see the transition committee report?
Yes, we got the right window. We're not seeing your cats and dogs and internet.
Okay. Good. Usually Zoom gives a visual indication that they're sharing the screen, but I'm not seeing that right now. So anyway, so this was a report given to the Board of Trustees yesterday during a Board of Trustees meeting. These slides are, it was not a closed Board of Trustees meeting, so these slides are not strictly confidential, but they are also not final. So this is also not an official communication from the Sovereign Foundation, if that makes sense, right? There's sort of a distinction between I was careful to, I thought about, how much and whether to share these slides. But given that they're not private and they are, they're public to some degree. However, they are also not final, right? There are some things up in the air. These slides talk about options and discussions that are ongoing. So don't take these as sort of, definite kind of plans or anything like that. And I'll be sure to sort of call out where that's extra true. So like Steve said, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Riley Hughes. I started out in the SSI space over 2 years ago when I was hired at the Sovereign Foundation. I was the second employee hired after Nathan George. So, Nathan and I would meet up in Phil Windley's office at BYU, next to Bruce, who I see is also on the call, a couple years ago. And that's where we got our start. And about 6 or 8 months ago, I started a company called Street Cred ID with Tomislav. Tomislav is a developer in the Aries community. He had a company called Street Cred ID LLC, and we got together and decided to start a company called Street Cred ID Inc. So, and Michael Boyd, also of the Sovereign Foundation, joined us in that. And our goal is to make SSI easy to integrate. So we are major contributors to the Aries project, and we take the Aries contributions that we make and package them up into a productionized API service that that hopefully is easy for developers to get up and running on. So that's what we do. I was assigned to be on this transition committee to oversee the mainnet, the sovereign mainnet transition into whatever it's going to be in the future. And so that's what I'm doing on the transition committee, and that's my day job. So to jump right in, the transition committee has five work streams, or actually six. There's six major work streams or things of the foundation that need special care and how they are transitioned from whatever it was to whatever it's going to be. And so we'll walk through each of those here in these slides. So the first work stream is immediate stabilization and funding. There are ongoing costs, right? There are AWS servers with CIDC pipe or CICD pipelines. And there are people who help stewards run their nodes, and there's all sorts of things that Sovereign is supporting right now, and funding to continue those resources is this first work stream. So the first kind of report here is that the cost base has been reduced dramatically. I think there were ongoing costs of something like $6,000 or $8,000 per month, not including rent or other bigger costs. And those costs were reduced dramatically to about as low as they could be while still having a functioning foundation. Some of the, I believe it was the continuous integration pipelines were turned off, which did have some impact in the ability for people to make pull requests. I think the time went from 5 hours to 10 hours. And of course, Nathan or somebody else would be able to speak better to that. I think Richard was the one who pointed out those numbers to me. However, things are still up and running. It's just the costs were reduced. And then the foundation does have debt, and that, there's a plan for addressing the immediate term debt. Things like employees were traveling, right? And reimbursing the employee travel expenses and other things like that. And so there's a plan for that. It looks like the plan is going to be to get some funding from the community to address some of the cost base issues that are still around, and keep the foundation sort of afloat from a financial perspective. There's kind of a 3+3 month budget, which means we're looking for funding for the next 3 months. And then after that 3 months, after we have funding for the next 3 months, it's kind of like, what's going to happen the next 3 months after that? And then the plan is in 6 months to have a fully transitioned foundation with a new sustainable business model that is effective. And we'll talk a little bit more about that further on in the slides. There's another work stream for communications, external communications. So if you got an email from Sovereign yesterday, or I think there was a blog post or an email or something, that was this group that put that together. It was approved by the board yesterday and sent out yesterday. And the idea is to focus on Sovereign 2.0. Originally, there were some like stewards who got together and created a kind of testimonial or unified kind of statement. And they're doing sort of less of that now, and more focus on kind of being upbeat and focusing on the future rather than focusing on the immediate kind of crisis that the foundation was put in with the funding situation. So that's the comms work stream. The third work stream is the mainnet, sort of transitioning the mainnet into what it will become in the future. I'm in charge of this work stream, and there are four major responsibilities within it. There's sort of ensuring the mainnet continues to be stable, and if there are issues that they are addressed, that stewards are approved and added to the network. That there's a business and economic model for the future, and that there's a governance framework for the future as well. So these two things are sort of immediate, ongoing operational needs, and these two things are let's look to the long term. Let's look to the 3 to 6 month timeline and see how we're going to address these issues and I can talk more about why these two are needed in some of the subsequent slides. Lynn Bendixson, who I believe was here a minute ago, Lynn is still here, is volunteering and doing a fantastic job monitoring the network and continuing to kind of play this role of ensuring mainnet stays stable. And then Mike Bailey is also doing a volunteer role. He is a TGB member and a volunteer. And I believe in the job market, if anyone is, I think Lynn and Mike are both in the job market, and it'd be great if they were able to stay in the community. And they are both sort of, they have both volunteered to play a role here. And then with steward approvals, there were steward approvals done yesterday. And those were done by the steward qualification committee. The economic model, there's ongoing discussion about that. There's three proposals on the table, and there's discussions about them. I could get into the details. I suggest maybe if we have time at the end, if people are interested, I can sort of talk a little bit about what those models might look like. And then there's a governance framework that we need to develop under the network of networks model. And so I can speak more to that as we talk about network of networks. So going forward, so originally we had a group of volunteers who worked on sort of clarifying these four goals and accomplishing these milestones. And going forward, it looks like these four goals map really closely to existing governance bodies in the Sovereign Foundation. So, making sure mainnet stays stable and doesn't, encounter issues, and if it does, that they're resolved quickly. Well, that maps really well to the Technical Governance Board, of course. Steward approvals maps really well to the Steward Qualification Committee. The difference here is that work that used to be done by paid staff will now need, the slack will now need to be picked up by these other groups. And for example, the Steward Qualification Committee previously had a lot of work done in vetting new steward candidates done by sovereign staff. And now the Steward Qualification Committee is going to have to do that vetting themselves. And so it's more work for the committee itself and the members of the committee, but it's still a sort of, functional kind of these responsibilities will still take place and so forth. So I'll jump to the next work stream, which is work stream number four about the network of networks. So there is discussion right now about a Linux Foundation project that will house the network of networks project, and the sovereign ecosystem will be a part of that work. So this work stream number four is to propose how the Sovereign Foundation will evolve under the network of networks model according to the Trust Over IP stack, which is an ARIES RFC. And the hope is that there will be a Linux Foundation project launching sometime in May to kind of oversee all of this. And if you're not familiar with the Trust Over IP stack, I suggest checking out the RFC. Again, it's RFC 289. Here's a graphic from that RFC. Basically, the idea is that you need governance at every single layer. You can have multiple DID methods and DID utilities as long as they each have their own governance framework. And then at every other layer of the stack, there needs to be governance as well. If there's governance and technical standards and governance standards, then trust can all of a sudden become interoperable across contexts. So it's quite an interesting concept. I would highly recommend learning more about it if you aren't already familiar. So, and here's where we get into sort of speculation, right? Again, these are ideas, and just by studying kind of the network of networks model and thinking about the existing foundation, you could easily deduce these ideas yourself. These are not, again, sort of proprietary ideas, nor are they solid proposals. So here are some options for how the foundation can transition. First option is that there could be a bunch of different legal entities within some of which live within the Linux Foundation, potentially, some of which do not. And there could be, you know, mainnet, there could be others within the Linux Foundation umbrella, and there could be others outside of it. There, you could also separate the token from mainnet if you wanted to. You could create a purely business oriented private type network. You could create public networks. You could create, you know, basically all these networks can have different governance rules. Findi could say you can only join Findi if you are in Vinland, for example, right? And every single one of these could have their own rules, and have their own governance. And the foundation could sort of evolve into several parts where, you know, you could have a legal entity governing sovereign mainnet, a different legal entity administering this whole ecosystem, and a different legal entity, which is the current Utah Corporation, nonprofit corporation, of course, that provides services and or advisory or whatever to these different legal entities underneath. You could also imagine a world where there's one legal entity under the Linux Foundation that contains working groups that govern the mainnet and other utilities, and ones that sort of, you know, and again, having separate networks as well that are all interoperable. You could also add like ID for all as a separate entity. So anyway, there's a lot of ways to do this. These are some of the proposals on the table, and we'll kind of see what shakes out. And of course, all this is contingent on talks with the Linux Foundation and things like that. So long-term sustainability is workstream number 5. Obviously, this one's very important. And this has to do with sort of dealing with some of the long-term obligations that the foundation has with regard to token and otherwise. It also has to do with kind of, you know, how is this going to go forward in the future, both not just from a mainnet perspective, but from an ecosystem perspective. Basically, you know, Perkins Coie is a law firm, right? Like working on agreements with sort of debt that the foundation owes to the law firm, getting funding from the various government sources that are available, is some of the work that work stream is doing. And then the sovereign token, this work stream is talking about sort of how do we deal with the sovereign token. The consensus is, all right, the Sovereign Foundation tried for a very long time to get through the legal hurdles to argue that the sovereign token is not a security, right? That it's a utility token. And the consensus now is that's not possible. Unfortunately, we all thought it was possible for a long time, but the legal kind of and regulatory environment has changed such that now it's almost impossible to make that argument. It'll have to be a security, and therefore the path forward, again, details are being worked out, right? The path forward is still not completely clear, but it is clear that the token is a security and is now sort of being viewed as such. So the co-chairs of this group are Joyce Searles and Andre Kudra. Joyce is a trustee representing sort of those interests, and Andre is a sovereign steward representing those interests. And they're the chairs of this group. And then, of course, the lead of each work stream, like work stream number 6 is Daryl O'Donnell, work stream number 5 is Phil Windley. I'm work stream 3. And so each work stream has a lead who's organizing the group. And the call to everybody is to please get involved. If you're interested in any of these work streams, or you have specific thoughts or wish to contribute in any way, get in touch with the work streams. The emails of everybody involved, so, you know, if you're interested in comms, Paul's email is available in the recent communication that was put out by the foundation yesterday. So if you have that, I'm sure that it's on their blog somewhere, or you know, in your inbox if you subscribe to the foundation's mailing list. And so, yeah, so anyway, get involved if you want to. All of these streams are open for volunteers and anyone who'd like to contribute. All of this work is happening transparently and in the open as much as possible. Again, a lot of the work is speculative and works in progress, so there's not formal communications about it. But if you'd like to contribute to the work, it's very much open to anybody. So with that, I will break for questions. If you have any.
Thank you, Riley. That was a really good overview. It's nice to see that despite, you know, hearing some disruptions a few weeks back, that things are moving forward. Let's see, on one of your slides, it talked about the token sale, which I think was that and coronavirus were kind of the catalyst for this disruption we're all kind of facing. One of the things it says there on a sub bullet is no new sale. So what's happening? Are we having a token? Are we not having it? What's going on?
There will be a token. So as a caveat, I'm not involved in the token work stream.
I can say a couple of things about the token work stream.
Yeah, thanks, Nathan.
The first thing is that the use case for a token, meaning value transfer in conjunction with information exchange, remains the same. There's a lot of business cases and a lot of use cases that need that value transfer component. And clearly it's a key component to the sustainability of the ecosystem as a whole, to be able to make it so that value transfer is part of how the protocol works and how information exchange happens. We saw that with the ecosystem for information cards. We've seen that multiple times in the history of identity platforms, that if you can't build better business models for the issuers and the verifiers to be motivated to share the data, then it's hard to sustain the effort that it takes to have wallets at the holder level. From that standpoint, we still think the token is very important. And I think that's a generalization of what we're hearing across the community. With the obligations that come from the work that's happened back into the past with the organization that's been in under transition, it's important that we figure out how to untangle some of those liabilities while also preserving the benefits of that use case. So the major goal of this work stream is to try to make sure we can do both of those things. The talk right now is how can we accomplish minting the tokens for mainnet and fulfilling the obligations that came from the legal work and the advisory work and all the other good things that happened to make that value transfer possible without incurring new liabilities or making the transition to newer business models difficult for whatever organizations exist going forward. So like this slide says, there's still details to work out. There's a lot of thinking that's going on in this group. So if you're interested in participating, Daryl, who's leading up this group, is a good one to talk to. Phil Windley is also very involved in how this strategy is working out going forward as we try to cover the long-term funding plan for the foundation as well in one of the other work streams. So I don't know if people have more specific questions than that. There's not a lot of exact details to give because the plan has not been finalized yet. Okay.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I was just curious. We were, like everyone, looking forward to the token sale, and then, this coronavirus thing kind of derailed the whole world, quite literally.
Yeah, and in particular on the token, we were looking for funding to be able to finish the Reg A Plus filing to make it so that we could open up the token for kind of just general value transfer use on the network. Unfortunately, with the crisis, that's the big chunk of the funding that fell through. So one of the challenges now is figuring out what the next steps are absent that sort of financial support.
Yeah, that's a tough one. In today's environment, there's so much uncertainty on just about every front. That's a hard question to be faced with right now, unfortunately. I'm a little optimistic. I think this will kind of circle back around as the world calms down, because we do need a token. I mean, commerce and everything will continue forward. So yeah, I guess there's no particular time frame for this. One other thing, let me just kind of toss this out there. It's kind of related to all of this that's going on, and I'm sure it's a footnote discussion with the transition committee somewhere. A few of us had been working on creating a sovereign steward council that would kind of allow stewards kind of a formal body to gather together, kind of like the TGB, but at the steward level. And so I think that's probably on hold. We created a charter, created some procedures about how all that would work and elections and so forth. But the idea was to make sure that we had strong community interaction from all of the different stewards, independent of some of the governance bodies that we currently have. I think once the dust settles on the transition, that might be really helpful. That way we can get everybody together at a community basis. Like I say, I don't know where that is. The last that I heard on that is we had finished the charter, we'd put it forth to the TGB and others and the trustees. And so that's probably being evaluated in those groups. That also coincided with the general disruptions that we've all seen in our community. And so my presumption is that it's on hold for just a little bit, but I think once everything gets stabilized and we get back going, I think that would be a really good thing. And that way, our hope was to also solicit added continued participation by all the various stewards. I understand that there's somewhere in the ballpark of 60, 70 stewards or thereabouts. And so it would be really good to help everybody cooperate and participate in those processes. So,
hey, Steve, this is Jack Callahan. I just want to add that I have not been able to participate on the Sovereign Evolution lately, but you know, people like Will Grow, Cloudocracy, has been relaying work, and he's been volunteering. And I just want to applaud the transparency and communication. It's been awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, this is really good. I like that all of these, some of these are rough details and they're unfortunate and but they need to be overcome. And I'm glad that everything's kind of out there for us to take a look at. And that way, anyone who has the ability to help out in these areas can seize that opportunity to do so. Because this really kind of what's happening is it's becoming more of a community effort. I have nothing but praise for the Sovereign Foundation and everything they've put together to get us to this point. And now it's kind of up to all of the rest of us to, pick up the reins and move forward. And so I think we're seeing that. I think it startled everybody at first, but I think people are starting to kind of find their place and participate. And that's awesome. That's what we need is a active, positive community. And so all of you that are here and participating in this in other ways, I thank you for all of your contributions. We're about out of time for today. Are there any more questions in particular for Riley or anyone else that we should bring up before we close? All right, well, it sounds like we're done for today. The link is in the Zoom chat and for the wiki page where we have notes for all of the different things that we've discussed today, other efforts, points of contact, and please see that for any details. Thank you all for attending. We will see you again in 2 weeks' time. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.